Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Justin Robert Young.
Hello!
Brian Brushwood.
Hello.
I swear I was going to say hello to begin with. It's not that I just ripped off Justin. And plus also, let's not act like Justin's the first one to ever say hello. He thinks he invented it, strutting around cock of the walk. Mr. H, they call him.
No. Hey, I invented it. Eat it, Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie.
Gentlemen, have your laughs, enjoy things. You know, that's great, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to be laughing after the next segment.
Uh-oh.
Well, I'll be the laughter judge of that.
That's how unfunny this is about to be, is you won't be laughing.
Gentlemen, you've heard of zombies.
Now, you mean the fictional construct or the Haitian animated sleepy obey people?
Where are you drawing your lines, Brian?
I don't know. I mean, like the one is undead. The other is in the twilight shadow period between life and death.
Wordsworth here. Goodness. Okay. Yes. And when I say zombies, those are the constructs. You're fictional, or now you're just, you know, it's the story of the zombies from the Caribbean kind of thing. And
I guess that, and
ultimately they made a better decision going with pirates in the movies. The zombies of the Caribbean would have been just a totally different franchise.
So we've got like zombie people, right? And then you've heard of like zombie ants?
Yeah.
Oh wait, these are the ones that are infected by the fungus?
Yep.
Yeah.
Way more insidious and scary. Fungus somehow inhabits the brain and then makes them, you know, like act really weird. And there may be like some sort of zombie thing that affects like mice and maybe affects people, right?
Now, okay, on the spectrum of zombie stuff, where does that crazy cat lady disease come?
We're learning. We're figuring it out.
Wow. Toxoplasmosis. Is that what it is?
What's that?
Toxoplasmosis?
Yeah. That's one thing we've identified. So who knows? And we're still trying to figure out how much that affects it. So, all right. So we've got like, there's the James Patterson book Zoo, which was sort of like, not really, but that's more of just animals going crazy. But then there's like zombie animals, you know, is a story we've had. We've had Marvel zombies.
Did you guys dive into Marvel zombies?
Zombies. It was so fun.
Yeah. I think it did a little of that. There was actually a Star Wars sort of zombie book, I think they did. Are you ready for the next installment? The next thing is zombie. What's left be zombified? What is left?
Let's play America's favorite game. Who's zombify America's next big zombie?
I mean, they already got Rob.
Yeah.
The guy. Took me a second to put that together.
Let it simmer, baby. Let it simmer.
Even better. So what else? What else is left? We've had zombie robots.
And actually, zombie computers are a real thing infected with viruses, right? Botnets.
Way to bring it down, Brian.
Oh, sorry. I heard that we wouldn't be laughing by the time this was over.
I mean, like zombie dinosaurs would be scary. Zombie elephants.
Oh, yeah. No, that's like, when they finally just totally beaten the Jurassic Park franchise for every red cent that could fall out of it, we got to at some point get zombie dinosaurs.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So what else? What's left to be zombified?
So I didn't hit it with robots.
Boring. They're already kind of zombies anyways, Brian.
Aliens. Zombie goblins.
Ooh. Ooh.
Zombie whales.
Ooh. Ooh, that's I'm liking the. I like these open-ended questions because sometimes I'm like, ooh,
you're like, I got my next ooh. Book.
zombie trees, zombie sloths. It'd be the slowest zombie invasion ever.
They're just zombie like, sloth. How can you tell? They're actually slightly faster. Are you ready for this?
Zombie yeah. microbes.
I don't know how much to know the difference on a zombie microbe.
Right. They would pretty much act just like a regular, regular microbe. That's a good point.
I give you IPTF 14HLS.
IPTF 14HLS?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it sounds like one of those satellite cable channels.
That, it also sounds like the name of the next flu.
Did the flu? No.
Zombie?
No. What is IPTF 14HLS, you ask? Not knowing. Imagine a star, okay? Imagine a star exploding into a supernova, and we watch it blow up, and we're like, yes, we saw a supernova. It's great. It's awesome. And then it's just dark. I'm like, all right, guys, that was cool. That was great. It just exploded. Everything went all blowy uppy or whatever, and all that's left is just, you know, some material to make a hammer for Thor. Right? Anyhow, you're like, all right, so what do you want to do next year? I don't know. Boom! It blows up again.
So, what do we know about this? Because I thought this was like the male orgasm is like one and done. But then all of a sudden, the stars got multiples.
Well, Brian, speak for yourself. there's a path we don't really want to go down there. So it's an unusual supernova that's exploded several times. And that's what's curious about it is that according to our model of supernovas, they kind of blow up. Their fuel kind of gets blown up, and that's it. The fireworks done exploded. You know, now you got to reset everything. This supernova keeps blowing up, or it's blowing up at least twice. And that's what has them surprised. And now they're waiting to see if it will blow up again, which would be kind of curious because there's just, you know, it's one of these things that you know, we've never observed it. So we don't really, it's not like, oh, well, what's the theory for a supernova that blows up twice? Like, well, we didn't know they could do that. So now we need a theory.
The super duper right? nova.
Yeah, it's a super supernova.
It's called a duper nova. Nope.
So you're ready for a theory?
What's that?
Yeah.
Antimatter.
Oh, like the first explosion created antimatter that fueled the second one?
Maybe. I don't know. Could be. But I just antimatter, so you know. What more do you need?
Is this your theory or the theory you're reading online?
It's the theory I'm reading online. No, it's not okay. My theory. I thought of it first. Now that I think about it, I was pretty sure when I was a kid that if a supernova blew up twice, it would be antimatter.
I wonder if it seems to me that like the first explosion could forge, or I guess by its very nature, forged the ingredients for the second explosion. But I wonder if it created particular volatiles that that combined in a, I don't know, explodey way.
All right, Brian, because I'm talking to you. Volatiles?
What?
Like humors, like vital humors?
I mean, I'm using a generic term for exotic matter that I don't understand. I wouldn't know anything about, but I know that combined it goes boom.
Fair enough.
Like, you're not going to get me in the weeds on this one. I'm going to speak in the most general term I can.
I know.
Yeah, it's not like if he had said some other word that you wouldn't have started giggling like Muttley and then called him on it.
I was like, you know, it's volatiles. It's like, I want to like Brian and Andrew teach a graduate level physics course.
we express chemical reactions purely in terms of the emotions of each of the ingredients as they go through without we'll actually
like,
knowing
draw,
what
like,
they
really
are.
Elaborate diagrams and be like, huh, like what is this? Well, if you turn it sideways, it looks like a wiener.
Ha 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 So, but specifically, does the theory specify that the antimatter, the proposed, according to theory, that the antimatter was created by the explosion, or just because it could be? I would assume antimatter just, you know, it's out there swirling around there somewhere in the universe, and at some point it's going to hit something else. I mean, there's talk about entire galaxies made of antimatter, right?
Well, there's a theory. There's a theory that could be like galaxies made of antimatter. I mean, the universe is weird. It's filled with volatiles.
That's true. It's mostly hydrogen.
One hypothesis is that it involves burning antimatter in a stellar core. And I love the science news. The headlines are great. This star cheated death, exploding again and again. The exploding star, I love that name, has erupted continuously for the last 3 years, and it may have had two other outbursts in the past. A supernova is supposed to be a one-time thing, you know, like college romance. The star explodes, it's dead, it's done, it can't explode again. It's the weirdest thing. This astrophysicist Lair Ira Arkopy at the University of California, Santa Barbara. I will go knock on his door next time I'm there. Inquiring minds want to know. And he'll be like, well, you see, what it has to do is volatiles. I'll be like, shut up.
Andrew storms out as Brian removes his spirit gummed beard.
So I guess right now it's just a rad anomaly, and I guess it's going to be years and years. We're going to hope to see it again somewhere else to really gain any knowledge from this, huh?
Yeah. I'm waiting for the headline. Scientists realize it's just a simulation. Somebody's effing with us. Everything.
It was actually just an LCD screen.
Yeah. I have no idea what the explanation they've had is possibly like, maybe there's like a bunch of antimatter at the core, and maybe it could be a collection of things. Maybe some of the phenomenon we're observing is way more exotic than we realize. We've made some assumptions about that. That's, you know, that just how much, you know, look at how many planets we found so far. Look at the presence of organics out there. We're still just trying to wrap our heads around like dark matter, and the idea that dark matter could be baryonic, meaning it could like form like elements and stuff, is a possibility, you know? So I don't know. I don't know. Space is scary.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Space is scary.
That's a wild, unpredictable thing to happen. A more predictable thing that happens is everybody going to patreon.com/weirdthings. That's where you can support this very show by kicking in whatever you might have floating around in your couch cushions. $1 here, $2, oh, $3. Geez, now you're being really generous. Head on over there to patreon.com/weirdthings, where as a benefit, you get some really rad stuff. Isn't that right, Bryce?
That's right. If you're a dollar patron, you get early access to After Things, our sister show about doing creativity and being a creative professional. And also sometimes we just talk about movies there. You get that a day or two early before everybody else does. And you get it all in one RSS feed, so you don't have to go and download and figure out how to go and listen to it.
Yeah. Groovy. And for those new tuning in, I picked on Brian of Volatiles because Brian reads way more about physics than I do. So that was my opportunity.
Also, I used it wrong. I meant it in the generic, volatile elements explode. But there is a specific use of volatiles that refers to planetary elements. So,
See?
Maybe I'm just too enmeshed in politics Twitter, but I was just waiting. As soon as Brian said volatiles, I was waiting for like the tweet thread of the problematic use of the term volatile.
See, folks, don't go to us for the hard facts. Go to us for the hot takes. Speaking of which, this was a wonderful juxtaposition. So we had Lamar Smith, who is the chairman of the House Science Committee, said that he was kind of disappointed with the lack of progress with the SLS, which is the space. I always want to say the Senate Launch System, which is not what it is. It's the Space Launch System, which has been the much long, you know, long in development project to basically reuse a number of existing technologies like shuttle engines, et cetera. They literally, the rocket engines on there came from like leftovers from the space shuttle and et cetera tech to give us a big heavy launch vehicle, because we need a heavy launch vehicle, that's for sure. And so the SLS was designed as a replacement for that. This was going to take us into deep space, et cetera. And it is a like ridiculously expensive rocket system. We're hugely expensive. And it keeps getting delayed. And there's a lot of back and forth like, well, it's because Congress said NASA had to do this. And they have unreasonable. Now Congress is saying, well, NASA's kind of taking forever. The NASA has contractors they have to work with. There's a lot of finger pointing going around, which is part of the problem, because it's not a agency or a group gets to say, this is what we're doing and this is how we're going to pull it off. It's a complicated mess. And it's also a lot of pork barrel, you know, politics going in there where, you know, maybe parts of NASA would like to say, hey, let's just get rid of this. But the people who are working on it, the contractors for that, certainly don't want to see it happen, et cetera. So now Lamar Smith has said, after all these years, after billions of dollars spent, we are facing more delays and cost overruns. And it's very disappointing to hear about delays caused by poor execution from the U.S. taxpayer has invested so much in programs. He said, get this, NASA and contractors should not assume future delays and cost overruns will have no consequences. If delays continue, if costs rise, and if foreseeable technical challenges arise, no one should assume the U.S. taxpayers or the representatives will tolerate this forever. The more setbacks SLS and Orion, that's the crew version of it, capsule have, the more setbacks SLS and Orion face, the more support builds for other options.
For dot, dot, dot.
Read the headlines.
This is from NASASpaceflight.com. Here are just a few headlines here. Blue Origin remains on course for a 2020 debut of the new Glenn heavy lift rocket. SLS managers rally the troops to avoid EM-1 slip into 2020. So this is, we are looking at other options presenting themselves as on time and under budget.
Yeah, so we get, yep, Jeff Bezos' company, Blue Origin's like, yeah, no, we think we're going to have our heavy lift thing fine in 2020. And then meanwhile, like, oh, a big milestone mission for SLS, maybe happen in 2020.
Just real quick to reset the conversation. SLS is the project of ULA, the United Launch Alliance, which is primarily staffed by Boeing and Lockheed, which has pretty much run the rocket game in the United States for a very, very long time, right?
It is the combination of a number of systems. I'm going to pull this up to give you the list of the it's actually Boeing, United Launch Alliance, which is Boeing and Lockheed together, Orbital ATK, Aerojet Rocketdyne, which is one of the original shuttle contractors, et cetera, and some of the other shuttle contractors got bought up by like ULA or Boeing. So it's basically combining like a Saturn V with like space shuttle technology, not at all reusable, nothing reusable about it, right? And it's rust colored too. That's a thing that kind of gets me. I mean, I know I shouldn't care that it's, but it's a big giant rust colored rocket that's totally not reusable.
So the appeal of the SLS to begin with is, I assume, it just sounds good in a soundbite. Like, we've got all these engines, why not send them to space?
So, you know, there was the problem was, is that we were facing a problem when the shuttle reached end of life. You know, the shuttle was extremely expensive. Shuttle was dangerous, extremely dangerous vehicle. And NASA and Congress are like, we need to have our own heavy lift rocket. We need a replacement for the shuttle. And, you know, the opportunity came up like, and this is the problem. And it's sort of the same compromises they made on the shuttle. Oh, we think we have a great idea. Reusability will save cost long run. Fantastic. You know, the reusability is a little more tricky than what we're working out, but we'll work it out later. We'll solve that problem later. Let's keep going. Well, now you have a rocket that's more expensive than what you were originally going to build, right? The SLS was like, you know, we don't need to invent engines from the ground up. We got some shuttle engines we could use. Well, how many? Well, we got a few, but we have the plans. And, you know, we got these solid rocket boosters we could use. And we got this and we got that. And we'll just podge this thing together. But it ends up being the same price or more as just doing a brand new rewrite of a rocket. And that's the problem. Plus, now you have to say, yeah, well, we got to use these systems. We're going to use these systems that are 30 or 40 year old systems in cases. And it's like maybe a page one rewrite. you know, Blue Origin gets the new Glenn, and the new Glenn's going to have a reusable lower stage. It's going to be far more cheaper to use. They get that running in 2020. It's harder, and not to mention that other company, I forget.
whoever they are.
Yeah. We don't mention every episode. Yeah, you know, I would say that the biggest thing that you have to remember is really what we've kind of chronicled on this show, which is at the point that the SLS was being championed, sure, SpaceX and Blue Origin were promising, but the difference now is track record, right? Like SpaceX has a regular parade of rockets heading to the United, heading into space. All the time. They are landing them for reusability. They are relaunching the rockets that they land after they land them. So I'd be very, very curious to see where this heads, because I think we are building to a point where, you know, you are ultimately only as loyal as your options, as Chris Rock said about other things. And I think that is the case that we are facing now, that I don't know if Blue Origin or SpaceX were the options, the realistic, politically safe, and that's a key term here, option to go with. And now not only would it be politically safe, it might be politically advantageous to say, hey, look, let's go with this thing that is cheaper than this other thing.
Yeah, somebody in the chat said the analogy they heard, it's like trying to build a yacht with Lamborghini parts. I would argue it's trying to build a yacht with, like, you know, Ford, you know, Lincoln
Model T parts.
Yeah, I mean, because it's uses solid rock. I mean, gross, solid rocket boosters. What are we doing, a Chinese fireworks festival? You know, just a lot of, you know, tech, and it uses. It's the space shuttle main engines. Okay, these are engines that reached their design phase goes back to the 1960s, and you know the first flight of this engine was 1981. Okay, solid, dependable, agreed. We have a really good track record of those things, but where we are now with engine technology, both what makes SpaceX and Blue Origin stand out is they designed their own engines from the ground up. The SpaceX with the Merlin engines, a smaller but really powerful engine. They've increased the thrust. Now Blue Origin has the BE-4, a beast of an engine, a super powerful engine. Both of them are methane-based, which they see as the future because it does less buildup, so it's built for reusability. It's the decision was made, you know, when both of these programs were sort of in their infancy stage, and we're like, we need to move forward with something now. And that's the problem is, you know, like, oh, if we don't get this funded now, we won't get it funded, but now we're... You know what?
Anyways. Part of me, if I think a bit about it from that perspective, then I don't mind the expense and the slowness of it, because it becomes basically an insurance policy that we bought back then. And it turns out we don't need it, but in an alternate future, 2006/current 2017, there's some other world where both SpaceX and Blue Origin, you know, wildly overpromised and are nowhere mm-hmm. near doing it, in which case we'd probably be pretty happy that we had a SLS there.
Brian, I think, and that is a very valid point for defending the existence of SLS. But you get into the problem of the cost overruns, and that's the problem, is that the price we're paying. I agree. I think that having a government-owned backup plan when you have a number of missions, defense missions that are critical, is not a bad idea. The problem is we point out to other people, like, yes, it's great to say that you want this thing, but you do have to put a price on the thing because you have to make choices. And that's the problem.
Right.
Is that we're like, yes, no, great. No, backup plan using this stuff sounds like a really, really smart move. How much? Does it really matter?
Yeah. It's us, your old friends. And I think that's where this gets into, you know, a trickier thing is you begin to delve into the kind of military industrial complex element of this. And you know, I remember I was talking to, I think it was at Dragon Con, we were talking to a few Diamond Club people that work in military for a lot of the companies that we have talked to. And you just realize how much, nobody ever gets fired from these companies because they are all there forever. There is a steady stream of money that is, will, and forever pour into them because they are the companies that do this business with the United States of America. And it's very, very hard to break into industries where they are entrenched in getting these government contracts. And I mean, look at what it's taken for any companies to even be mentioned in this situation. Because if we weren't talking about maybe there being cheaper options, then the only conversation around this would be, why don't we put more money into the space program so we can pay for this?
Yeah, I'm looking at like the line items and the funding going into it. And it's challenging too, because like, yeah, we have friends that work on this stuff. We have friends that work in the industries, work for this sort of stuff. And when you're critical of the bigger program, it sometimes feels like it's criticism of them. But no, it's just, you know, the problem between, you know, Congress having to figure out what the plan's going to be for NASA, NASA trying to figure out what their recommendation's going to be based on 20, 30 year goals, not knowing how radically things would change. And, you know, in the mid to late 2000, you know, the aughts, whatever, to say, oh yeah, you know, by 2017, Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk are going to have very, very promising capabilities. No guarantees to be sure, but it's going to look very promising. That in that point too, is that reusability and things like that didn't exist, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a new thing, you know. Again, yeah. It's something that it didn't exist. I mean, I remember hearing from listeners of this show about how like all right, you know, reusability is a great goal, sure, we should be working for it, but here are a list of capital V very good reasons why it'll never really be a thing until years and years and years from now. And it's like, I can understand where they're coming from, but also turns out that wasn't right.
Yep. So one more tech announcement. We're, I think, 3 days away from entrepreneur. I guess he was one of the co-creators of PayPal. And he started an electric car company.
Our new thing where we're going to be coy about it, like as if this isn't, you know, the Elon
as I sit here wearing
we're Elon Musk's grandmother, and we like to put his artwork on the refrigerator.
Well, speaking of, you know about you heard about the job that Elon Musk's mom got, right?
No.
Elon Musk's mother is a CoverGirl model now. She's the oldest cover girl. Yeah.
Wow.
She was a model though, right? I mean, that was I remember reading that in the bio, in the biography.
Yep. So and she still is a model. So there you go. Yeah.
That's amazing.
You know, yeah, she's very, very good looking woman.
But I assume you're teasing the fact that he promised to physically murder everybody at his upcoming announcement. He says he's going to blast your brains out the back of your skull and into an alternate reality. And then he drops a cheap pop for Rick and Morty fans.
Cheap pop.
But this is all around the semi, right?
Yep. This is the Tesla is unveiling a semi, which is a tractor trailer truck. They're, you know, the tractor. They want to now use their battery tech and drivetrain technology. I guess what they're going to do is like they're going to use multiple Model 3 engines to drive this thing, because trucking, you know, is so much of the cost of what we, you know, spend money on goes into getting things from point A to point B, and sometimes it's a large part of the cost, you know. And so if you can lower your cost per mile costs, you know, like right now it's something like one of these trucks costs like, you know, $1 per mile or something. If you can lower that to 50, you know, 60 cents a mile for your cost overall, that's a huge difference. It affects the pricing and everything. So I think on the 16th, Tesla is going to unveil their electric semi truck, which is Elon. Yeah. Elon says this thing is amazing. It handles like crazy. It's super powerful. Like, you know, it pulls entire other trucks there. He is extremely, extremely excited about this. And yeah, it does promise that our brains are going to be blown out of our heads when we see this.
Can we go back to that Verge article real quick? I just want to express a point of annoyance. So here's the headline. What we know about the Tesla semi-truck before the Thursday reveal. Okay, good. That's a good headline. Subhead. Tesla wants to electrify a new type of vehicle while it scrambles to produce a mainstream car. I know this is just like a science thing, so no one's here for my journalism hot takes, but I hate the term scrambles. It is such a crutch for headline writers to just express this emotion into like, all right, yeah, Tesla said they were going to have it's going to be the fight of their life to scale up and make these Model 3s. Like, they've been upfront about it. And this is, you know, I don't know exactly how much it has to do with the reveal of their semi truck, if they are now, you know, an American automotive manufacturer. But I just hate it. I hate, you know, blank scrambles. It never really tells you anything. And all it does is cast a narrative onto something that, you know, may or may not be true.
Well, you get that, you know, that like, oh, well, when, you know, if they still haven't solved this problem, it's like, there was an engineering department and group of people that worked on the Model 3. They did their thing. Now it's the production department's problem.
Yeah.
You know, there are thousands of people there, and it's in that kind of thing. Like, so should all the engineers be on the line? Should they be, you know, doing this? Or like, I mean, it's that weird.
Get your riveting. Get your riveting equipment out here. We have to make these things. Everybody, come on. Elon Musk, put on your hard hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. Kind of like people don't know, like, well, Brian, so you got scam stuff going on there, but hey, you got to do some podcasts today.
Well, yeah, I know it's in the schedule, and I'm planning to show up same time as always.
Brian, do you have the stuff figured out for, you know, April? How far? I mean, I don't think you're doing this right.
Okay, scam Brushwood, stuff, scrambles.
Brushwood podcasts with friends while scrambling to fill the new what's the new product?
Oh, yeah, the Outlaw's Vault orders.
Scrambling to fill the Outlaw's Vault. I don't know why I went into Rush there. Scrambling to produce the Outlaw's Vault orders. Snarkly.
Yeah, I think it's just the kind of that misconception about stuff, about how things work. And then it's, you know, there were, the final chapter ain't written yet. You know, the Model 3 is not shipping in, you know, large quantities yet. Lot remains to be seen as far as what's going to happen there. You know, that's for sure. And you know, Elon Musk likes to make big announcements. Elon Musk likes to be candid and talk about his hopeful aspirations and stuff, which sometimes gets construed as, well, he promised us this. You know,
well, it's the difference of conveying a lack of talent or focus or ability. Because if you use the word hustles, it conveys the same, like, we're going to have to work really hard to achieve this goal. And yes, I mean, that is definitely one of their goals, is to have a popular consumer car. But there's a big difference between saying as they hustle to get a production versus scrambles to.
Well, and this is not anything that is unique to Elon Musk. This is a headlining trope. It's funny. A friend of mine, Andrea Seabrook, who used to work for NPR and a bunch of other stuff, and has reported in politics for, you know, years and years and years. You know, just on Friday, posted on her Twitter, just a look at just a particularly hacky headline page or a page of headlines on the Washington Post, and it was just all, you know, scrambles and rushes and just all these like stupid lame like narrative headlines for like what, again, are stories, but you just don't need to make the story about, like, you know, I remember there was a thing, the BART was closed, and so I just kept joking around with Brett, our friend, to pick out the headlines every time it was commuters scramble. It's like, no, they just got to figure out a way to not use the BART. You know, it's no one's like, oh, God damn it. Oh, what am I doing? It's my morning commute. Ah, like, it's a different thing.
So there was a side note on the Tesla thing, as you've heard, like, again, I mean, there's who knows? I'm very bullish. I'm a fan, et cetera. But, you know, my chosen reality is not reality, you know. And you read some of the things like, well, they've had the delays and, you know, people are canceling orders. Well, they've been adding orders at a greater pace than they've been losing. And that's the thing that counts. And they're getting orders. And then Bloomberg decided, well, let's contact 20 people who pre-ordered them and let's find out how many of them have canceled their orders because of the delays?
I would imagine the answer is zero, right? Out of 20?
Zero. Yeah. Zero. In a sampling of 20, zero people canceled, you know. I have a couple friends. I've done the pre-order of that, and we're like, yeah, none of us expected it to ship, you know. And they were like, you know, like, we were like, we're not like, what? This really sought after, never made before electronics product is late?
Well, especially, yeah, from a person who's chronically like when people ding him on his report card, it's always for a turned in assignment late. But I'm with you. I think most people knew exactly what they were getting into.
Yeah. Well, but anyhow, yeah, not that to say that we can't, that we're not supposed to be, you know, objective about these and look at these sorts of things, et cetera. So, like, you know, I freely admit I drink the Kool-Aid. But anyhow, the long story short is that there are other car companies that have unveiled concepts for these electric tractor trailer trucks, but it is one of these things that will make a fundamental difference in our infrastructure. It doesn't sound sexy. It's sort of kind of like a big whoop. But the reason that we all get excited about electric cars here is because when you electrify cars and you automate cars, when you have self-driving cars, everything changes. It's not just, hey, now there's a rope. Now I'm riding around in a Johnny cab. It's self-driving automated food trucks. It's, you know, pop-up stores that show up everything. It's a roving Comic-Con with booths and kiosks that just pull into convention centers. It's tractor trailer trucks going across country, just driving materials back and forth. It is AI handling logistics and stuff. So people go, and you've heard, and there's sort of the criticism of like, well, who's, you know, tractor trailer trucks are a very conservative industry. Who's going to want to spend to buy this? We're going to find out probably like Walmart or somebody like this has agreed to buy 1,000. You know, I have no doubt that it won't be hard because that's who's a big buyer of these, like handles their own logistics and stuff, companies like Walmart, et cetera. So for them wanting to buy an electrified fleet, you know, not hard at all for them to go ahead and sign an agreement with, you know, Tesla to say, yeah, if you can build these things at this price, we'll buy them.
I think that's a really, really key point here is that ultimately, the tractor trailer trucks are more along the lines of like a SpaceX's business model and reaction to our, you know, the way that it will react to our community and economy than Tesla. Tesla right now built a high-end car so they could build a more economical car, right?
Yeah.
SpaceX and these tractor trailers are for people who spend a lot of money. But what's interesting now is that once more people can get into that game, and the price to move something from one part of the country to another, in the same way to move it from a terrestrial origin to outer space, goes cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, the more people can afford to do it. And now all of a sudden you're just looking at, you know, baseline changes in what we understand as shipping prices in general. You know, if this explodes the way that it could.
Well, think about it this way. Let's say it's $1 per mile now, and then it goes to 50 cents per mile. Let's say that's what he advertises, is you buy this, and now you're paying 50 cents a mile. So all of a sudden, you got people doing giant orders of them, which has the strange knock-on effect of as more people join the 50 cents a mile club, that means there are fewer people in the trading, you know, using gas and hydrocarbons club, which will bring the price down for those as well. So it truly is a case where a rising tide raises all boats.
Yep, yep. And, you know, the concern gets brought up is this eventually does lead to one of the things that Tesla has been experimenting with or asked for permits for was to try to do like drafting, which was basically they wanted to have like, you know, an electric vehicle and then have other like tractor trailer trucks, like self-driving robot ones follow behind.
Like super close. I've been wondering about this for years. It just seems like linking up into a giant train is the way to go. You link up and you press, you know, stay on the train, and then you read the newspaper for the rest of the day. Newspaper.
Yeah. There is have you ever seen what they do in Australia, what they do like the road train?
Well, I've seen like up in the Pacific Northwest here in America and like Montana and stuff, you'll see semis three chunks deep. But I'm going to guess that because Australia has to outdo the United States in everything from the toxicity of its ants on up, I'm going to assume this is more than, oh my God, this is 1, 2, 3. Oh yeah, no, okay, so it's three deep again.
They have some other ones though that are even more. Yeah, but like, yeah, you're getting into the idea that you could have multiple of these things like just chained up against each other or drafting against each other. So Tesla's filed for permission to be able to test that, which sounds, you know, kind of terrifying to see basically a literal train barreling down the highway. It's just, yeah, it just affects, you know, everything, cost. But then there's a concern. It's like, hey, well, what if you're a trucker? You know, what if you're a trucker and you're facing, you know, 10 years from now losing your job?
You know, I'll tell you what, there are two kinds of people that I've always felt that podcasting has a very unique relationship with. One of them is military and therefore veterans, as they filter out of the military. So happy Veterans Day for everybody this weekend. And the second is truckers. You know, and both of them share the idea of being isolated and wanting to hear voices that specifically cater to them. So I would love to have emails in from truckers to let us know what they think about stuff like this.
Yeah, send them to neshcom@gmail.com with the subject heading "Weird Things" on there.
Yep.
Yeah, you know the cold hard answer is that every job faces some form of, you know, the vending machine, you know, got rid of the candy dispenser person, you know.
Well, and most of the truckers that I've spoken to are like, yeah, we know it's going to happen, but it won't happen overnight. And there's going to be lots of opportunities. Chaos is a ladder, as one strange trucker said right before he killed me.
Yeah. Yes. And that's the thing is you get into like, oh, what are these people's job? It's like, okay. Then it's our job to subsidize this job that we no longer need. Is that what we're supposed to do? Do we have a moral responsibility then to say, for every job that gets replaced, let's subsidize it? You know, let's go ahead and just keep paying extra for that rather than use that, you know, efficiency somewhere else, like, you know, fluffy slippers or something cool. You know, I don't know. Whatever Amazon's going to sell me next.
Sure.
Gosh. You know what time it is?
It's about 2:33 Central Time.
I mean, could it be just a little bit of Journey Quest?
Journey Quest.
If only we knew what happened last time on Journey Quest. Not last week. It was 2 weeks ago.
Well, let's listen.
Previously on
Journey Quest. Step one. Make a butt gun.
Step two,
make the Golden Emperor eat the butt gun. Step three, we own the Golden Empire.
This is our big gig. We have to seduce the populace by being more cruel than the Golden Emperor.
Oh, he still thinks that's the Golden Emperor.
Oh. We have a very weird show, Andrew.
Listeners.
Thank you to Steven who makes these recaps, but he added a lot of footage that was a little dicey this week.
Yeah, we saw our butt gun.
You saw the butt gun, yeah. Before you die, you see the butt gun.
Yeah. From Blumhouse Productions, butt gun.
I feel like, by the way, that's going to be our, like, you hear those, like, those stories from, like, Shane Black of, like, you know, $1 million screenplay that's only, like, a pitch on a bar napkin. I feel like that's how we could get paid $1 million for a sight unseen screenplay.
And we walk in with a cocktail napkin and we're like, listen, it's $1 million idea. I need you to sign an NDA before you see this. And you just flip it over and it just says the words butt gun.
Yeah. Well, no, you just slide it over to him. It says butt gun on one side. They're like, I don't know about this. Wait a minute. You flip it over. It's just a drawing of the butt gun.
So you guys had been you were brought before the Golden Emperor, who you thought was the Golden Emperor. You murdered him. And then you heard somebody snickering from a skybox. Oh, they think he's the Golden Emperor. And then you guys were what? Sent off to your chambers or something?
Yeah. I think we were about to have a meeting.
Well, no, Brian, I had to maim Brian, right? Or was that before this?
Oh, yeah. You have Brian, you had like an arm? No, not. You got stabbed or something real bad.
No. It was his I think I blew his.
Oh, his ding dong off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And Brian was super chill about it.
Just to look, You know, when life blows your ding dong off and chops off your hand and installs a German OS, you make lemonade. You know,
is this kind of like the slippery slope after you get a vasectomy? You just sort of figure, this is going to happen too.
Oh God,
jeez. Well, that's you know what? Sure. When you
it starts with a circumcision, then we get a vasectomy little by little. Fine, society, just take it all away. Make me into a Ken doll.
For the record, I am very much convinced that was Brian's plan, that Brian was offering that as a way for us to get out of that situation.
No.
Great plan, man. Though, like,
brilliant.
Brilliant. They never would have bought it otherwise. Took one for the team. This butt gun thing. I really think it's got legs.
It's got two legs and a gun. And
so now we're going to be taken off to this other room. I believe we were being walked through a hallway. I lean over to somebody and say, "Hey, by the way, I mean, my buddy here is really bleeding out of." Well, I mean, just I don't even know where to call it. Let's go ahead and get him taken care of now. He's the star of the show.
But you got a bunch of autograph seekers who want autographs.
Hey, that's fine. I just want to let everybody know I'm still gonna kill the Golden Emperor. I'm gonna find him and I'm gonna kill him, just so everybody knows. There's no rest for this butt gun, man. I'm just going to keep shooting until everybody's dead.
Realizing that it's faster than signing actual autographs, I just dip my left finger in the crotch blood and just kind of roll it like I'm about to go into enrolled in prison. So they get like a copy of my fingernail or not finger and my fingernail. I also wipe my fingernail in there.
Nice. Then Brian passes out in the middle of the hallway.
Yeah.
Justin keeps walking.
I'm just saying, hey, listen, somebody take care of him or I'm going to shoot one of these kids.
Green room's this way.
All right. So I walk to the green room.
I lay there unconscious, bleeding from my crotch, where I dream of simpler times back when we were looking for Andrew and Justin's wife on the West Coast.
So, Brian, you come to, you're an infirmary.
The first words out of my mouth are, I told you it should have been bikes.
Your infirmary, they're like, good news, we fixed everything.
I blink and look around. Can you tell me a bit about the room that I see around me?
Hospital room, it's hospital room.
Okay, I immediately, with my left hand, check my crotchal area.
You see 2 feet of green garden hose.
Oh my God. I look to my right hand.
Man, you're going to like our work.
I look to my right hand to see if I still have my chainsaw.
You did. They put that on there. We put a new blade on there and everything.
Oh, great. I mop my brow and I say, thank A for effort. And I guess I'll just be, there was a meeting and I stand up and start pulling off tubes and.
Oh, not that tube. It looks like garden hose, but it's not, it's a growth medium. You'll be fine. Yeah. And don't also, get excited. The 2 foot thing, that's more growth medium than, you know, medium.
Also,
you know
I apologize to anyone listening to my inner monologue for using the phrase pulling off, to describe that action.
And so as you're getting up, you look underneath you and there's a little note, a little piece of paper that somebody's slid under you so nobody else would see, so the doctors and nurses, nobody would see.
Surreptitiously, I try to glance at the paper and see if I can read it.
It says, "Don't believe his lies."
And I roll my eyes and say, I saw the movie Memento 2 and then head out the door.
And then you turn it over.
Oh, dang it. It says he is the one, kill him.
Because I know you would say I saw the movie Memento too.
Okay, then I do a comical double take at my hand as I'm reading the paper out there.
Because then it says, I know you better than anybody else. Don't believe his lies.
Okay. I say out loud to the piece of paper, cool story, piece of paper, thanks. I crumple up and put it in my pocket and, again, try to get out that door and get in that meeting so I could stop Justin before he does something even worse than blowing off my ding-dong.
Well, you walk down the hallway and you see a waiter with a bullet in the head, right? Holding what looks like a tray with like some like chicken fingers and like a big bowl of mayonnaise in the middle.
I squint suspiciously and look at those chicken fingers.
Yeah. Were you waiting for them to do something?
I pick one up and smell it. How does it smell?
Smells like a chicken finger. Smells pretty good.
I asked the waiter, can I have one of these chicken fingers?
He's got a bullet in his head, so he's not dead. Really vocal.
I do so rhetorically, knowing that he's dead with a bullet in his head. And then I chuckle at my own jape and toss the chicken nugget.
You do it kind of like half under your breath like Bruce Willis. Like, mind if I have one of these chicken fingers?
Exactly.
Jape is one of those words that sounds like it belongs in a comedy book that has a lot of racially incorrect jokes.
It does. Hilarious, yeah. Japes.
Yes. So you walk through the door, and there on the other side is Justin eating some chicken fingers with barbecue sauce.
I pause mid-chewing of my chicken fingers and say, you got chicken fingers too?
I look at Brian and said, hey, master plan came to full fruition, huh? You have me shoot off your ding-dong so you can get a 2-foot Goodyear blimp balloon.
Brian realizes he's wearing shorts.
Look who's packing now is going to be my movie about Brian.
Justin, are you saying that you murdered the Golden Emperor?
No, we're waiting.
Oh.
Eventually we're going to get an audience and we're going to kill him. But instead I just killed that, I killed the waiter.
Well, but why? Did the waiter displease you or? I see. This seems so unlike you, Justin. You've been the voice of reason this entire time.
Waiter comes in. Why don't you get to eat this mayonnaise? I'm like, you need to get dead. And so I shot him.
Get dead.
For the crime of offering you mayonnaise? Which,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, you know, but, right?
I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, mayonnaise is an affront to humanity.
Tell me about it. Anyway, I mean, do you have to, like, play, like, a recorder to get that snake of yours up to full attention?
All right. I try to pee on Justin, and I squeeze the hose so that it goes twice as far, because I've had enough. I've had it up to here.
Brian pees on Justin.
man, that's a classic brushwood jape. I'll tell you what though, man. What do you say we get another waiter in here? We get you pee on him and I'll shoot him.
No, I roll up my garden hose and I tuck it.
I'm hitting the waiter button that is on my arm.
I brought your pizza rolls.
I was like, you know what? Just set
pizza
them in front
rolls,
of the door.
Extra mayonnaise, right?
Set them on the floor and run away.
Come in.
Run away. Set them on the floor.
Come
on, run away.
Pizza rolls, extra mayonnaise.
Set him on the floor, run away.
Loaded 9mm gun.
I was like, okay, I take the gun and I put it in my waistband, and also then I rev my chainsaw and I chase him out of the room. Like, get out of here, you.
What's the matter, man? All tapped out.
Anything else?
No, go.
Yeah, please present your forehead.
No, don't. Okay.
Would you like some cantaloupe too?
No, I want you
yes,
gone.
Yes, I would. Hey, by the way, you ever seen a butt gun up close?
No, is this the famous butt gun?
Yeah, come on over here. Brian, get ready.
No, I physically pushed the waiter out of the door. I'm like, you've got to go. You've got to not be here.
Butt Dude, this gun. Is... I wanted to see the butt gun.
Yeah, it'll be the last thing you ever
see. Let's do thunder and lightning. Your no. pee is lightning.
No, no, I'm not.
Thunder and lightning, man. Thunder and lightning.
All right, fine. I pee on the waiter.
I shoot him with my butt gun. Thunder and lightning. Nailed it.
This is Justin. This is, you're a bad influence. You can't.
So,
hey, man, we got to get out of here. Let's go see that Golden Emperor. What do you think we got to do to see this Golden Emperor?
There's a doorway there. You open up the doorway. You go down.
Golden Emperor!
Long corridor.
Hey, man, let's get this on. I need to kill you, Golden Emperor.
You step into a room, and there is a golden throne before you. It's actually literally a golden toilet throne. The Emperor is actually sitting on the golden toilet. It's
nice.
Really kind of gross.
Hey. Tell you what, man, that seems really optimized for your butt. I've got a butt trick for you, too. It's called my butt gun in your face.
There's nobody there, Justin. It's just a golden throne.
I'm here. He lowers the newspaper. I'm here.
Oh, are you indisposed at the moment? We can come back later.
No, now's time. Now's a good time. How are you? Lovely show.
Hey, listen, real quick. My partner in crime here, and I do mean crime, wants to...
You know this is a power move when I do this, right? You know this, right? This is like the ultimate power move.
Hey,
you're standing, I'm sitting, and not only that, I'm sitting, and I'm sitting on my throne, okay, if you know what I mean. He winks. Wink, wink, wink.
Real quick, Golden Emperor, just how much control do you have? Some people are talking, and they want to know how powerful you are.
Control. I could stop anytime I wanted.
No, I mean, how much territory are you the Emperor of?
It's continuously expanding.
And right now, you finally hit how much?
Oh, I don't know. You know, maybe 500,000 emperors.
Oh my God, that's quite a track record. And are you well regarded by those who serve beneath you?
They either love me or they fear me, or they fear to love me. Or they love to fear me.
Does it smell like rain? Man, because you want to know what follows rain is a little. I start winking at Brian.
I shake my head subtly.
Little thunder and lightning, it's...
I say, hey, Emperor, you want to see a magic trick?
Ooh, I like magic.
Okay, I pull out my garden hose, and I make it rain all over him.
And you watch it. Go ahead, Justin.
I say, you know the old saying... You have to count the seconds after you see the lightning before you hear the thunder. And then I do a big wire foo backflip that eventually puts my butt equidistant to his head, and I fire my butt gun.
Only you hit the plate glass. Big glass wall. I was like, ho 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 ho, you naughty boys. So funny.
Hey, all right, Golden Ember, I'm gonna level with you. So I'm gonna
speak louder,
you.
I'm behind glass. I didn't hear a word that you said before.
God damn it. Can somebody I find something to write or scratch into the glass. Hey, I'm going to kill you and Brian's going to pee on you.
And then I point out that, well, you have to write it backwards. Otherwise, he's not able to
read
it.
I don't read backwards. Sorry.
You got to reverse it. So
hey, can you hold up a mirror? Like, you got to have a... All right, whatever. So I write it again backwards.
Oh. You know, that's getting a little bit repetitive.
Oh, he thinks this is just a slogan, Justin.
Oh. Thunder and lightning?
No, listen, I don't think he takes you serious. I think that he thinks that I'm going to kill the Emperor is just your catchphrase. I think he doesn't regard you or us, you know. I mean, I know you're dangerous. I've felt the snake bite firsthand.
All right. So I immediately run. I give Brian my gun, and I put his hand in the gun to my head, and I'm like, all right, so you want me to blow your dick off again?
No.
You want me to do that? Just all right. So, oh my God, I'm kidnapped. Somebody lift the plate glass. I'll shoot you in the new wiener, and then we'll go get him. All right. Thunder and lightning.
Emperor's just clapping.
Right, here we go.
All right, for you, I have a present.
I say, what's the present?
You get to face me in combat.
Justin, I'm going to guess he's pretty good. He's conquered 500,000 emperors.
No, Imperoons. It's actually a land area, size of land.
Oh, Imperoons.
Imperoon. I made it up.
That doesn't make any goddamn
how
sense.
How big is an Imperoon?
So wait, he's going to face us both in combat?
Yes.
Let's go.
Hold on. Look, what are the stakes? Yeah. If
yes.
he wins...
Unequivocally, yes.
No. Hey, if we beat you, you'll be dead and we get your throne.
Sure. Flush. But you can't have that. He's like, all right, but there's only one catch.
All right.
Yeah.
You have to kill my champion.
Yeah, whoa. Okay, you know what? I pick a champion. But first, let me see your champion.
Number one, yeah, somebody went to the movies this weekend.
Last weekend, thanks. And this was always planned ever since I saw the trailer. no, this is. I won't say no more. You have to defeat my champion.
Yeah, fine, whatever. Moving along, fast forward. I'm going to kill you. He's going to pee on you.
Portrait of a man in black armor, face hidden by a shield.
I roll my eyes.
Can we pick a champion? And if our champion doesn't want to go, can you force him to go in our stead?
Are there already two of you fighting?
Yeah, no, it's not the way that it works.
All right.
Yeah, all right. I pick my champion, my butt, and its weapon, a gun.
All right. Agreed?
All right.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, let's go.
Sure.
3, 2, 1. Come on. Let's do this.
Presses a button. You drop down through a chute. Next thing you know, you're back in the arena.
Finally.
I point to Justin and I say, you realize we're right back where we were, only minus one Brian Ding Dong.
No, you have a better one.
No.
Brian, and also, it doesn't matter that you lost your Ding Dong. The power was within you the whole time. I also went to the movies this weekend.
You killed,
ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready for a battle?
Yes, I'm ready for some football. Let's go.
Over here, we have thunder and lightning.
That's you guys. It's you guys. Wait, what?
That's you guys.
I know. I gesture with my chainsaw hand as if to say, like, bring on the champion.
Over it means here. He's going to pee on him and I'm going to shoot him.
Yeah, they were going to. At this point, I've just given up. I have full on Stockholm syndrome. And then I say, and I say to the audience, because why? We're going to. And I point to them to complete the phrase.
Kill.
They're into it. They're just not quite sure what they're supposed to say. They're like,
this is our first time doing it, though. It's fine. Eventually, we're gonna get him with that.
We turn around, we face towards the audience, and we say, like, all right, listen, all of you guys on this side, you're fans of lightning. All of you on this side, you all like thunder.
Yeah.
And then, we're gonna kill the emperor. And then I raise my hands.
They're like, he's watching. So then, there's a lot of fanfare, trumpets blowing, curtain peels back, and there you see standing before you, 10 foot tall in black armor. And then you realize that about 4.5 of those feet are actually just extensions on the shoes.
Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. Let's do this.
Thump, thump, thump stands before you.
Yes!
He's got an axe in one hand. He's got a spear in another one. And the emperor's up there like, I present to you your challenger, my champion. And he raises his visor. Mind-controlled Justin Robert Young!
Wait, what?
Another.
I secretly replaced Justin, yours, with a homicidal maniac that you never noticed, even when he shot your ding dong off.
I
twist.
Have you noticed it's weird that he kills everybody? Everybody.
Okay, I say, quick sidebar. Come over here, Justin. I was like, listen.
Justin takes a step forward, and the Emperor's like, no, no, not you.
I'm sorry, not mind control. I look to mind control Justin. I'm like, hey, mind control Justin, can you talk independent, or are you totally zombified?
He just goes, bleh, and drools over himself.
Okay. I say, look, clone Justin, this is not ideal for either of us. Also, did you just find out you're a clone?
Oh, no. I've definitely known, like, I love killing, and like you just seemed really into it, and that we were like, I mean, I know, listen, this might be one of those things. I kind of figured that it was going to be one of those things where, like, yeah, it starts out with me catfishing you, but then eventually we kind of see more of each other and we can get over it, but I'm definitely not your friend, and I was just here for the killing.
Yeah, okay.
He's literally been mind control Justin back since the old West Town. I mean, he's been a homicidal clone Justin, rather.
I believe all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, remember when I killed that kid?
Yeah.
Almost immediately.
I kind of figured that you were into it.
All right,
and let's keep going. Like, that was one of those, like, all right, you know, he's not saying, I know you're a clone who likes murdering, but, like,
Yes. Okay, I get it. Look, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Clone Justin, less than ideal circumstances brought us here, but we have aligned common goals. We got to take this guy out. And it seems to me, as long as he's in that armor, he's going to be indestructible. We got to get that mind-controlled Justin out of the armor.
So we kill him. So
no.
We try to shoot a bullet. UP are here. Let me run this by here. So you pee in his eyes, right? And then I'll try to shoot him in the eyeball.
Okay, but again, that armor, I got a strong feeling, is going to be impervious to all of your attacks, and certainly your butt gun.
I mean, listen, you'd never know until you try. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
I turn back to the 10-foot tall Justin, original Justin. And I was just like, Justin, just blink if there's even a bit of you left in there.
All right. So he's drooling over himself. We'll call him MC Justin for mind control Justin, right? And he puts his axe on his back and a spear through a loop. His eyes, just these kind of like, you know, the Game of Thrones, like, you know, the big, the mountain kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what he looks like, that version of Justin. He looks at you, unblinking, Brian. It's like a great white shark staring at you.
Okay. I say, you know what? This is...
Oh, wait. Oh, look.
Oh, he's trying to form the Diamond Club symbol. No! I say, look, clone Justin, murderous Justin...
Yeah,
I am telling you, like, here, you know what? You go ahead. Just try. You can't get through that armor. Go ahead. Try some traditional attacks and you'll figure it out. And I cross my arms and I'm like, have at it, butt gun.
I mean, so just thunder?
Yeah. Fine. I also I say, let's get it started. And I pee on the leg of.
See? I knew that you loved me more than you loved him.
No, this is not a sign of anything of the sort. I'm just saying.
I wink at him. No, you beat on your friend. That shows that you chose me. I'm a murderous maniac. And I started to flip around while shooting that through my butthole.
Music starts to play. And you hear the sound of the Emperor giggling from way on up.
I have a new wrinkle, and another set of curtains parts.
But there's another curtain that grazes.
And now, are you ready for the twist upon the twist?
Yes.
There's another knight there in big armor.
And
Okay, more people to kill, says murder clone Justin. Another MC Justin.
And then you see the knight raises his hand, pulls off his glove, And whose hand is that?
Is it? Oh, wait. Is that my original hand? Did they clone a Brian off of that hand?
And then he unzips his fly, and I'm not going to tell you what he whips out. And grabs something.
Got it. I look back.
The rest is all cyborg. The rest is all cyborg, says the Emperor.
Oh, my God.
It's a robot with Brian the Ding Dong at hand?
Realizing I'm the
hey,
only...
Hey, I did it before, and I'll do it again. That thing's getting shot right off. This time, I'm going to do it maliciously because it's not our plan. Actually, it will be your plan. Just tell me, like you told me before, to shoot off your wiener.
That's not it.
You see Justin struggling to do the mind control.
I say, you know what? Let's do this. I run up to mind control Justin, and I try to climb up his body and straddle him like Master Blaster sitting on his shoulders, and I take my hoping beyond hope for cartoon logic to work. I take my chainsaw and I just bonk him on the head really hard, and I say, "Snap out of it! We got a battle to fight against a cyborg and a clone."
He reaches up, grabs you and throws you across the arena. And as he does that, you notice there were some like tubes running up to his neck that may be putting mind control drugs into him.
Hmm. I realizing this, I just run back. First thing I do is I take my 9mm gun, I turn and I just empty the entire.
Oh, and I have a twist upon the twist.
I say, that's great. And then I murderous Justin. I fall and just pull the trigger and blow his brains out right there. Clone of Justin, dead at my feet.
As the last twitches of life come out of murder clone Justin, he just says, thunder and lightning.
Yeah, he actually doesn't die right away because he's built like really strong, and he just keeps saying,
thunder and lightning, best friends forever.
I tried to. Can I yank the butt gun out of him? Is there any benefit?
I mean, it was only him holding the gun underneath his.
I couldn't remember how permanent it was. That previously on made it look like a really installed.
My only friend.
I'm
just a clone with one friend.
I don't have time for this, so I rev the chainsaw arm and I run it right through his guts.
Oh, gosh. Redundant organs suck. I can't die so quickly.
Sometimes you have to treat the symptoms.
We had so many things in common.
Realizing sometimes you have to treat the symptoms and not the disease, I just cut out his vocal cords. I just take the saw and
gurgle, gurgle,
and then
he just starts making whale noises.
He's sobbing. He's crying in his blood and tears.
All right. I cut off his right hand and put that in my pocket. And I also cut off his ding dong and put that in the other pocket.
Oh, he's still alive.
There's so much the fresher. And then I go bounding over towards the mind control Justin. And
also,
Andrew,
how does the crowd react to Brian harvesting the orc in the hand and wiener from the clone?
This is a crowd that has seen some really depraved, demented, sick stuff. And right now, they're like stunned because this has gone to a new level. And nobody can see the Emperor. But it might sound like a conference call with C.K. Lewis right now.
Okay.
C.K. Lewis?
Yeah, he wrote The Lion, the Witch, and Sitting in the Wardrobe.
Lewis, C.K., sorry. My brain refuses.
I like C.K. Lewis. All right, so I'm
in
just
this
gonna,
universe, it's C.K. Lewis.
So I go running up, and I just jump and dive with my revving chainsaw, hoping to nick those tubes, spewing mind control juice into Justin's poor body.
Well, we'll have to find out next time in Journey Quest how that works. And what the Emperor's other surprise was.
Huh.
Picks?
Man, I got a pick I'm really excited about. It's a six-part miniseries podcast called Dirty John. It's amazing. If you liked even 1 second of Serial and want to experience that awesome feeling, only with more depth, more better journalism, and a more satisfying ending, by which I mean an actual ending, I cannot recommend this enough. It's only about 4.5-5 hours if you skip the commercials. Totally worth it. It's amazing.
Sweet.
I am going to pick... I'll pick Stranger Things 2. It's very much worth watching. Maybe we'll talk about it a little in After Things, but I finished it. And by the end, I think all the pieces get where they need to. But man, is it a little challenging leading up to that?
You know, I strongly suspect that Stranger Things 2 would be as good as the first season if they just had a bit more time. It felt like, you know, like behind the scenes, and I have no basis to, this is just what it felt like to me. It felt like it was very important for Netflix to push for a Halloween-ish release for it, and it felt like...
I would almost think that part of that is a necessity with actors that age. Like, you know, taking a year, 2 years off when you have a child cast can oftentimes lead to, you know, having to cover over mustaches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we got more Stranger Things. There's some great moments in there, so it's that. But it's certainly, man, you know, where it was different, it was different.
Can we talk a little bit about it in After Things?
Yeah, we can do that.
Sure. So, my pick, the Red Dwarf, latest Red Dwarf episode, which I kind of dug, because I think, like, what I love about Red Dwarf right now is they're kind of doing some cool, sort of really interesting sci-fi themes. Like, last week's was Mechocracy, which is the one I talked about before, which was the whole what happens if, you know, when these machines ask for representation, and it was kind of a neat sort of, like, take on sort of politics, et cetera, which I enjoyed, where you have a campaign on board a ship where people are running, you know, like, there's only, like, four people, effectively, and sort of running against each other. And then the latest episode, which is called M Corp, which is another kind of an interesting premise, which is basically like the ship gets a software update and all of a sudden it is now everything you have to pay for, like, software update, and you're uploaded into one of the crew members is uploaded into sort of this virtual reality world where you have to pay for everything.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really good. I think they're doing some great commentary. I think they're doing some. It's not, I would say, like, as a beats, as far as like an episode beat, it's not the strongest, but as for content and let's talk about this sort of thing, I love the fact that they did that. So
awesome.
So, yep. So yeah, it's on BritBox. Thanks to Bryce for that. And I'm gonna give like another quick, like, I've been with my new iPhone 10 now for 5 days. My update is, love it. Mm-hmm. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
I dropped mine for the first time. And they say that that first time, first drop equals first break. But luckily it landed right on its side, and it just has minor scuffage. Character marks.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's too bad there's not like a huge industry of making some sort of protective sort of thing for those things, Ryan.
If
it's
only. Just, if only.
It's too bad. It's too bad. It's too bad.
I, too, like to live dangerously.
I just
20 beats your 5.
Yeah, I, man. I'm in awe, Brian. I'm in awe. It is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful device though too. There is like, I do find myself like taking it out of the case to just fondle, you know?
Yeah. If anyone has a recommendation, I'll get a case. Somebody recommend a case and hit me up on Twitter at Schwood.
Yeah, I have this is regular sort of I went for like the Amazon Choice case, whatever. And then I have another one coming. Their cases are so cheap now. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, you can get, you know, $10, $20, whatever. I highly recommend I ordered one that's a translucent case, so it's a little more easier to see. But yeah, the OtterBox, like, yeah, I might as well just, you know, have a valet who drives my iPhone around in a van, you know, if I'm using an OtterBox, you know. They're big. They're huge.
That they are.
But yeah. So anyhow. I'm very much enjoying it, liking it. It's been very smooth. I like it. And again, we live in a world where there are choices. And so if you love the Apple universe, it's a great choice. I think it's very happy. I'm very, very happy with it. Face ID is wonderful. It's magical. So gentlemen, it's been weird. And it's kind of like extra weird. It was really kind of weird. You guys went down corners that just sort of kind of disturbed me. All right.
I like the episode just ending with judgment and then silence. you guys disturb me.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.